Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Talk about NFL ready. The worst term any analyst can use is NFL ready. And they'll say that about Kenny Pickett. I'm just going to say he's Derek Carr, Andy Dalton. He's somewhere in that Andy Dalton, Derek Carr mode. That's what you're looking at with Kenny Pickett.
That is Mel Kiper, who put out his first draft and has the Saints taking Kenny Pickett with the 18th pick. The Steelers pick 20th, so they're right in the Kenny Pickett range. He is the highest-ranked quarterback by Kiper, Chris, and he is saying that Kenny Pickett is a guy that reminds him of Andy Dalton and Derek Carr.
Oh, that is not inspiring, to say the least. Like, Dalton wins a couple divisions, obviously, and gets to the playoffs and never gets over the hump.
A precocious redhead with a ceiling.
I mean, didn't I say this to Bruce, though, about Carr and about all these guys that are going to be out there available via trade, like the Winstons or whoever, the Carrs, the Garoppolos? Doesn't it feel to you like there's a glass ceiling? Like, right here, here's how I would try to differentiate and explain this.
When I What's the difference between a ceiling and a glass ceiling?
The glass ceiling is something that can't – you don't think that there's anything stopping you, but there always is something stopping you.
It's with a sneaky ceiling.
There's a ceiling here at the Rivers Casino. I know I cannot jump up,
but
know,
the
climb
glass,
through it.
The glass ceiling is fooling you.
You keep bumping your head off of it because you keep thinking you can get past it and over it and whatever and break it, but
okay.
You can't. Okay.
But glass is usually pretty easy to break.
I think it's like plexiglass, tempered glass.
Oh.
Right? I think that's the...
So why don't we say the plexiglass
ceiling? I think that's a little cumbersome.
Okay.
That would be my statement. So I said this about those guys, though, to Bruce, that, like, you feel like if they've been around long enough and they haven't won big, that they probably never will. Dalton is probably the poster boy of that, and now he's on the downside of his career. There are times where you would look at Andy Dalton and you'd say, that guy's objectively good. If he got protected by his line, he would cook good teams. He was capable of that. He was never capable, though, of getting a team to the next level.
But I always felt like he had a full diaper in a big game.
Right. Well, that's part. Okay. That's part of it. Don't you feel that way about Kirk Cousins? Of course you do.
Yep.
In a big game, no matter how good he had been playing, well, he had been playing coming in, you never guess.
I mean, they're pulling Lennox stunts. They're taking turds out of the thing.
They're finding turds if they need them. If he hasn't filled his diaper, he'll find a way. He'll find a way to screw it up. So when I hear a guy compared to Andy Dalton like that, that's what I automatically think. And here's where it gets a little weird. Joe Burrow's never won anything. Josh Allen's never actually won anything in
the playoffs. Well, they've won playoff games.
But I'm saying, like, won a conference or something like that.
Andy Dalton never even won a playoff game in Cincinnati.
Derek Carr had a chance to win this playoff game.
He's 0-1.
Got hurt the one year where maybe he looked like an MVP candidate.
And do you remember who started the playoff game?
No, it wasn't McGloin because he got hurt too.
Come on, Mulsey.
God.
You know Donnie knows the answer, and he's just begging to come on the air and talk about it.
Donnie, give me a five count, and if I don't get it by then, you can roll with it.
Four.
Hey, run through for me again.
Hold on. Connor Cook.
Yeah, you're right.
Connor Cook. Yep. Yes.
Did you cheat?
Come on and look what's on my my screen right now.
That looks like Brazzers.
Stop.
That's a company computer too, Mulsey.
Anyway.
Go on.
So my bottom line point here with this is, like, even though guys like Burrow and Allen still have to win games to get to a conference title game or win something of quote-unquote significance, I've seen enough that I believe Allen can do it. Like, I fully believe he could go into Kansas City and win. I believe in Burrow, right? When you either have that sort of look and skill set and performance level in you or you don't. Andy Dalton and Derek Carr are both guys who didn't. So if that's what Kenny Pickett, for example, is getting compared to, and this is one guy. It's not like Mel Kiper says it is therefore gospel truth.
No, but he's just the most famous draft analyst.
It is not the kind of thing I want to hear about a player. because it tells me that the only way that guy succeeds is if everything around them is going right, and then they are able to kind of push that across the finish line. Is this a perfect analysis? No, because Russell Wilson was a third-round pick who won a Super Bowl pretty damn early and should have won another one if he had handed the ball to Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, but he had the Legion of Boom defense for those
2 years. I know,
years.
but he's been proven to be a very good quarterback. He's been proven to be a very good quarterback independent of that, I would say. Like, I have watched Russell Wilson and been like, damn, that guy's awesome.
But Russell Wilson got screwed because they thought he was too short, and that's how he became a third-round pick, even though he was really good at Wisconsin his last year there.
Okay.
Like, there was something about his size and his stature. You know, Brady was blocked by Drew Henson and never really got a full opportunity at Michigan. That's
but also
why
he never
he's
looked,
a six-round
yeah,
pick.
Yeah, but he never looked the part either because
I mean,
he was so
pretty good. I mean,
so slow, didn't have
they
a
They won the Orange
arm.
Bowl. I mean, he came up with some unbelievably clutch and big wins
I know,
at Michigan.
But he still went to the sixth round even after he had clearly beaten out Henson in, like, his last year there. My point is he wasn't, like, this primo athlete at the position. So when I hear somebody compared to someone that I feel like could only have won games in the postseason when it matters, when things were going perfectly in all other facets, which they hardly ever do, that isn't appealing. That's why people have said, and I understand why people get frustrated when I bring this up, I am desperate for the Steelers to find another unicorn-type talent at quarterback. They just had one for 18 years. I say that as one of Ben's harshest critics in town, but he was the kind of guy at his best.
Why are you putting the, or a plural? You are the harshest critic.
Fine.
You should own that.
But I didn't want to put myself on that pedestal.
Why not?
I don't want to be known as a hater, Pony.
You're not. You're known as a critic. There's a difference between the two. Critics are paid to be critical. That's the whole point of the word.
Point being,
that's what you are.
As somebody who was more critical of him than anyone else in town, I can still acknowledge that at many occasions in his early career, especially when he had those unicorn-like abilities, he got them to places they probably don't otherwise get without him being that kind of player. Which is why, as much as we love Kenny Pickett on this show, I love that he's a gamer, the Derek Carr specifically comparisons ring the truest to me. And that's more favorable because I think Derek Carr is a better player than Andy Dalton. But do you think Derek Carr in his career is going to win a Super Bowl, no matter where he goes?
No, I think it's a little bit late for that because now he's in his 30s and he's making a lot of not a ton of money, but he's going to get paid like someone that makes it
and
harder to build
good,
a great
and
team around him.
He's not good enough to take a team around him that is not loaded to the gills and drag them across the finish line. Would you agree?
It seems that way, yeah.
So if you draft a Kenny Pickett or anybody else, a Howell or a Ritter, these other guys in this class, because Pickett's still QB1 on a lot of people's boards, Pony.
Yeah, and some he's not.
Some he's not, but some he is. Corral you might get in some boards. If you draft him, he better, on that rookie deal, be precocious enough, and you better make all these great moves around him.
Well, he's not
that
raw.
You get to
we
where
know
you
that.
Need to go.
I mean, it's not like Dwayne Haskins or one of these guys.
The closest comparison is Burrow for experience.
What did Kuiper say? He's ready. He's
but he
NFL
hates,
ready.
But he also said he hates that term.
Then why'd he use it?
To illustrate the fact that he hates it,
I guess he needs to come up with a better term, no? I mean,
if Kenny Pickett, in terms of collegiate experience and what his age is going to be as a rookie, is Burrow. Because Burrow, that was the one sort of semi-knock was, wow, he's a really old draft pick.
I think he's Burrow-like.
But he put up, put up insane numbers in a tougher conference and has proven to be every bit the real deal in the pros. Like,
yep.
I don't think anybody has questions that Joe Burrow is going to be great for a long time if he stays healthy.
Well, I wonder if there's questions about the team he plays for and them being able to do what's right for him, by him, that kind of thing.
The one thing they tend to do, though, there that I keep reading about is even though we laugh at Mike Brown because he picks from, like, the Athlon Blue Ribbon draft preview for, like, player selection, when they find guys who are good, they generally keep them. They have been good at that.
Like, well, sometimes they overpay for those guys, though, and it creates a problem.
There's players that
stick around there too long, and they're making too much money past their prime. There's a loyalty factor with the Bengals. Sometimes it's loyal to the hilt, like with Marvin Lewis.
That's a coach, though, not a player.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, that's – I think in that way they have maybe some of the bad qualities that we ascribe to the Steelers.
I'm not going
to
worry too much if I'm them about overpaying Jamar Chase, for example.
No, I agree.
Point being, like, if you think Kenny Pickett's Burrow light, and I would generally agree with that observation, like, even in the stylistic stuff.
Well, that's why you get him 20th or 18th and not number one overall.
Can Burrow light get you to a Super Bowl in the first 4 or 5 years? The reason I put that time stamp on it is once those 4 or 5 years pass, if he has gotten you there, you have to pay him huge money. and then he better be awesome. He better have blossomed into something more than you thought he could be, or you were going to be.
Well, Tom Brady was Burrow light his first few years in New England. Now, I'm not projecting that onto Pickett to say he's going to develop into that player, but there's Brady at 25 years old wasn't as good as Brady at 35. He was Benjamin Button. He's gotten better with age. The first few years he was in New England, he wasn't putting up prodigious numbers. He wasn't an MVP candidate type player.
This might be me projecting my own views onto him that weren't everybody else's. Maybe it was because I saw him twist the knife on the Steelers so early. I always looked at Brady pretty much from their first Super Bowl on, and then when I watched him pass the ball all over them to start the next season, I was like, that guy is going to be unbelievable. And by 07, what was he, like 29 years old maybe?
Yeah, and he was throwing 50 touchdowns
right.
in a
season.
Right,
so like it was a pretty obvious quick upward trajectory. He won 3 Super Bowls in his first 4 years as a starter, and then quickly after that authored the greatest regular season by a team we've ever seen since the 72 Dolphins.
I mean, why can't Kenny Pickett be Eli Manning?
I think he can be, but I also think it's a different NFL than when Eli Manning even came into it. You need the quarterback to do even more, almost. Like, Eli's specialty was making a handful of huge plays.
Yes and no. I mean, the 49ers got to a Super Bowl with Garoppolo throwing it 8 times
and
in an NFC Championship game.
And why didn't they win that Super
Bowl? Oh, I agree with. I mean, there was. But that glass ceiling was the highest it can get. It was all the way to a Super Bowl.
I think it's almost worse, though, if you're them and you got that. And look at what they did in the draft this year. You got that close with that guy. He failed to make one or two plays that probably swing that game in your favor. And what do? Draft Trey Lance, who in terms of at least pure raw talent, probably can break through that ceiling if it all works out. So I think that the 49ers are like the
object
lesson
here. All I'm saying is that
here.
The difference between Andy Dalton, who Mel Kiper compared Kenny Pickett to, and Pickett, is that with Dalton, we know, even when he was at his best in his career, that he was not made for big moments. And I want to believe that about Pickett.
So I
want to believe
that
those games bring out the best in him. I don't have the same fear in him that eventually came true about Dalton, that not only was he not a top 10 quarterback, but when the stakes got raised, he was even worse.
Yeah, I mean, Cousins is the poster child for that right now, I would say, among starters. When the stakes get raised, he shrinks. The weird thing about Eli, and when you say, why can't he be Eli Manning? I mean, I think he's got the talent to make a lot of the throws Eli did. I don't think Eli was pretty obvious. Eli wasn't the most talented quarterback in his draft class. I think we know who was.
Who?
Ben Roethlisberger.
Thank you, Malzi.
See, again, you had to say that because I have a reputation
but
as
that
a
But that helps you that you said it out loud, I think.
It's just true.
Right.
Well, I've also used that against
say
him
it.
And said that if he would have...
Say it loudly and proudly.
If he would have maxed out his talent, they might have more
say
Super
Bowls. Say it loud. Say it proud.
The weird thing about Manning, and this is what you just cannot ever project, I think. It's just impossible. Manning, for all of his warts as a quarterback, when the lights shone the brightest on them, I mean, that guy's heart, he just looked like a guy who had just woken up still.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We ask all our guests to come clean and in great detail, brought to you by GetGo. I'll come clean about something. We're at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. They're playing the song We Built This City by Starship. And if they keep playing it, I'm going to be very distracted during this next segment because it's such a good song.
Yeah, I hate it. There was an article
in GQ. You don't like fun things.
An oral history of We Built This City, the worst song ever done.
The point of the article is to be ironic.
No, I think they're very serious about how bad it is.
Well, they're wrong. And Steve Palazzolo would grade them in the green.
I doubt
Starship.
That. Steve, be honest. Don't let Pony pressure you into this. You hear We Built This City, come on. What is your reaction?
On rock and roll, Steve. Remember that.
I just don't want it to get stuck in my head, so I'm trying to ignore it. That's what's happening. Middle
ground. That's a win for me.
Oh, see, now Pony's taking this as a W, Steve.
W, like Jameis.
Much like the PFF graders and maybe people on the outside, two people can look at the same play and have very different conclusions. I don't think just because it's an earworm, it means that you necessarily like the song.
No, I don't love it. I don't love it. How's that? Again, you know, I don't want it stuck in my head because it's a tune
Pony.
That gets stuck in your head. We don't want that.
Would the Steelers be smart to re-sign Juju at something like 1 year, $8 million, Steve?
I don't know about $8 million. I do think... I'm a big fan of being, you know, 3 and 4 deep at receiver in today's NFL. I don't know if Juju's that guy right now. We'd have to see. I think a lot depends on what the scheme's going to look like, what the quarterback's going to look like. But my first instinct is probably not, but start to get a little bit, you know, a youth movement going in there. Not that Deontay or Claypool are old, but get some new bodies in there, get some speed in there, and just, you know, guys that are going to create some big plays.
Steve, what about, speaking of maybe not new blood, this would be keeping an old body around. Do you think the Steelers should be in the business of re-signing Joe Hayden if they can get him for what I believe was, what, 1 year, $6 million was the PFF projected
yes, it was.
Price?
Yes, I would do that for a year just because, you know, he's solid over there, and I think there's a lot of work to do for the Steelers in the secondary to get better there. So I think that would be a good hedge while you're perhaps drafting or signing someone else. But I do think, you know, Hayden for 1 year at that type of price is not bad.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, is our guest earlier. Bruce Gradkowski of Pro Football Focus said he'd take Jimmy Garoppolo over Derek Carr if you could get one of those two quarterbacks for a second-round pick. Do you agree with Bruce?
Ooh, really? Jimmy G over Derek Carr, huh? He's
yep.
not...
He said that Garoppolo had an it factor that doesn't show up in the grades, Steve. An it factor.
Yeah, I mean, I when I talk to Bruce about Carr, he gets upset watching Carr sometimes. Like, you know, tight red zone plays and stuff like that. Bruce gets frustrated watching Derek Carr. I'm not blindly trusting the grades, but I do think Carr brings so much more to the table throwing the ball down the field. And Garoppolo's fine. He's good. He's just been in a beautiful system with Kyle Shanahan. So the it factor that Jimmy G brings is throwing the ball to the defense like he did last week. Come on, Bruce. I'd take Derek Carr. Yeah, all things being equal there.
Steve, aren't you throwing all these quarterbacks? This has been one of my pet projects today to get this point across. With the Carrs, the Garoppolos of the world, I know Jimmy G came very close to winning a Super Bowl. Pretty much didn't win one because of his own inability to make a throw, but that is actually the point. Aren't these guys all in the same basket of probably are never going to do it? Like, that there is an obvious tier down from the elites of the NFL where you're getting good quarterbacks, but you're getting guys who in a lot of ways cannot win the big one?
So, kind of, yeah. But there's a lot of studies that have been done. It's like, well, you need an elite quarterback because over the last 10 years, that's who wins other than Nick Foles one year, right? It's like, yeah, well, Tom Brady's got a million of those, right? He's kind of skewing that, and he'll be gone in the next 5 to 10 years. I do think the NFL will get back to, yes, I mean, the elite quarterback is like it's a cheat code, but there's a plethora, I think, of Jimmy Garoppolo's and Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr's around the league who are middle tier and probably will never win one. But, what's the alternative? How are you going to find that other guy? Are you just going to cycle through the draft or whatever it might be? It's just Pittsburgh. You guys are in just a tricky spot right now. You've had Big Ben for so long. He's always been a top 5 to 8 quarterback in the NFL until the last couple of years. That always gives you a chance to win it. You feel good about that. And it's much like New England, right? They're probably happy about Mac Jones, but do they feel Mac Jones can then, bring them to the promised land? I don't know. Jury's out on that. So it's a tricky spot to be in because, most quarterbacks are serviceable starters. They're good starters, but are they Super Bowl winning quarterbacks? No. And then you go back and say, okay, when do you move on? There's probably teams around the league that would love to have Derek Carr, and then there's the Raiders thinking, hey, do we need to move on from Derek Carr? And that's the nature of that type of quarterback.
Steve, what would you think of the Steelers if they went into next year and the idea quarterback was Mason Rudolph versus Dwayne Haskins, let the best man win?
Oh, I think that's – look, I've made outlandish predictions that haven't come true here, but I think that's not good for the football team, we'll say. I won't say you're picking top 10 or anything very, specific, but that's not – I don't think that would be good for the team.
But what if that was the plan? What if they were tacitly like – I mean, they've never done this, but what if they were just like, well, if we end up with like the 5th pick in the draft because we play those two quarterbacks, it's not the worst thing in the world.
We didn't tank. We just played the guys we had, and, oh, they stunk.
No. If that's the talk behind the scenes, I think that's fine. It's going to make for some, rough interviews for us weekly, talking Steelers football next year. But I think I don't mind a rebuild year, we'll call it, not a tank year, a rebuild year, because, this next draft class is just all over the place. I think you have to take a shot in this draft class on somebody, just in case. But, I would take my chances in the future year and see what happens.
When you say take a chance, do you mean in the first round?
Not necessarily, but somewhere. I don't know if all of those guys are going to go in the first round, the Sam Howells and Malik Willises and Pickett's of the world, right? Matt Corral. It's going to be fascinating because there are going to be evaluators who think a bunch of those guys are second and third rounders. There's going to be evaluators who like them in the first round. I think it's just going to be all over the place. So there might be a starting caliber quarterback available on day two. But I think you got to get somebody in the building, I think, if you're the Steelers or you're the Broncos or the Saints or whatever, these teams that are just looking for quarterbacks and looking for the next guy, get somebody in the building, assuming you like them enough, and just see, because QB evaluation is tough. Even if you're wrong, you could be wrong either way, right? You could be not love a guy and he ends up being really good. So you got to take a shot, I think, at the position somewhere.
The reason I would have disagreed with you've got to take a shot notion, Steve, is because I keep hearing about how much better the 23 class of quarterbacks is compared to this year's. And I know a lot can change. Like Spencer Rattler was supposed to be one of the best quarterbacks in all of college football this year. We know how that turned out. But early returns here, early projections, how much better is that 23 crop supposed to be or looking to be in your mind?
I don't know offhand, but it probably will be. Just chances of there's always guys emerging. Like Kenny Pickett was the guy that emerged, right, for you guys this year. And
yep.
I don't think he's at Joe Burrow's level or Kyler Murray's level. Those were the guys.
He's Joe Burrow light. He's Joe Burrow without the carbs, Steve.
With gloves on, and small hands. Now Burrow's got small hands too. Look at him. He's paving the way for Kenny and his small hands.
Well, easy for you to say when you've got like the biggest hands in sports talk radio, Steve.
I do. I would dominate the combine hand size, 100th percentile. Here's the stuff that is gonna. This will be great fodder for you guys. Draft a quarterback every year, even if it's in the first round. Right, it's the most important thing. Draft two in 1 year. Who cares? Because the payoff of hitting on a quarterback is astronomical compared to even hitting on a great TJ Watt or whatever it might be. The quarterback is the driver. Just because you draft one this year doesn't mean you can't draft one next year. The Cardinals are a good example of that. They could have said, "Oh, we drafted Josh Rosen in the first round. We got to give him a chance." No, you don't have to give him a chance. Go get Kyler Murray. He's better. So I think keep drafting a quarterback until you find one, and if you hurt some feelings along the way, who cares? You just got to go get that QB.
Steve, I love asking you either-or questions. Pick one or the other here, even though both guys might not be around necessarily when the Steelers are picking 20th. Let's say they say, we're going to shore up something else other than quarterback with our first-round pick. Linderbaum sitting there at 20, or Jordan Davis, that large mountain of a human being, is there at 20. Steve Palazzolo has suddenly assumed general manager's powers for the Steelers. Who's he picking?
I think both would be awesome Steelers, but I would go Linderbaum to be the starting center. I think that guy's awesome. He'll immediately upgrade the run game. You can let Kendrick Green, try his hand at guard. And Jordan Davis is, he's a mountain of a guy. I mean, he's awesome, but better run defender than he is pass rusher. I don't know if the NFL is going to value him as a first rounder because I don't think he's going to rush the passer all that well. He's not as good as, say, like a Vita Vea or a Dexter Lawrence, those 340, 50-pound nose tackles that could rush the passer. So give me Linderbaum. I think he'll be a slam dunk center in the NFL.
Steve, I know how much you think corner play and secondary play matters. Should the Steelers buy Akilah Witherspoon stock? He couldn't get on the field. Then he was good late in the year. Is it worth taking a flyer on giving him a decent-sized contract this offseason?
Decent size is the risky part, I would say. Again, if you can – I love the flyer that they took in during the season to bring him in, but he hasn't been on the field a lot for, multiple teams now. So I wouldn't say decent-sized contract for Witherspoon. No, if you get kind of like the Jason Verrett deal that teams – that I was always encouraging teams – to make. Verrett wasn't on the field for like four straight years, but it paid off once the 1 year that the Niners got a year out of him, right? For injury-prone guys, I'm all about giving them the flyer, cheap money. Let's see, because Witherspoon's got some skills when he's out there, good size, movement skills, and everything, but I wouldn't necessarily invest in him given his inability to stay on the field.
What about Witherspoon having been on now his third team? Like, when you're looking at that, do you – because I think fans, people like in our position, Steve, who aren't looking at it always as analytically as you guys try to at PFF, we think, is he wearing out his welcome, et cetera? What are some other, like, less nefarious reasons why a guy might be already on his third team when he's not even 27 years old?
Some of it's health, some of it's scheme fit, some of it's who the heck knows off the field that we don't, we don't really know. But then you have a guy like Rasul Douglas who we'll watch this weekend with the Packers. He's on like his eighth team or whatever it is, and he's yep. balling. He's just found the right system, and he's making a ton of plays on the ball and everything. So it's a tricky one. All I know about corner, there's a few positions that I like to attack with volume. Receiver, corner, because you need a lot of them. And then there's also a tactical element to having a lot of them, which is matching up with offenses or putting defenses in a bind. So corner is one of those volume plays where I would, take shots on guys like Witherspoon just to see if they could hit.
Steve, was it a misprint Sunday night during the Chiefs game, the PFF Minka ranking, which I think was in the 60s and set so many Steelers fans off while the game was still competitive?
No, I mean, he made a great play, and I think this is the Minka discourse here. He made a great play. I even tweeted about it just to, lose the scent a little bit that we're anti-Steelers, right? I really made sure I put that out there. Great play by Minka. I think it was third down. He comes yep. off, lays a huge hit. It was great. I was actually just watching because I thought he might come up. I was watching some of his negative plays. I mean, he's a step late on plays where it might not always be his responsibility, but he's a step late on a bunch of stuff. He got blocked off of, out of a screen pass that went for a 20 or 30 yard gain. I think the average fan doesn't see the negative plays for a lot of safeties and linebackers and corners, to be honest, when it comes to zone coverage, when it comes to just general negative plays. In general, you see the flash plays and Minka flies around and makes some of those. But blocked on a screen, you know, when Mahomes is making that big play right before the half, Minka is a step slow. It's toward the sideline, but he should have been there. You know, he's late on some stuff in coverage, and we will downgrade him for that. And I think that's been the story. That was him, especially early in the season. He got better in the middle of the year, but he left a lot of plays on the table, and, you know, I think a lot of those go unnoticed.
Steve, I'm trying to think of how I want to phrase this question, because here's another sort of...
Is it a delicate question, Mulsey? Is it a personal question?
No, I just want to make sure I'm clearly asking it. What would be your response, just from the outside looking in? You know, we hear in town Matt Canada's offense is going to look a lot different when if he's back next year, which it certainly appears like he will be after what Mike Tomlin said about him, unless there was a shock firing later this week. We have heard, it's going to be like what Matt Canada's offense is supposed to be. They had to ditch a lot of it because Roethlisberger, A, couldn't do some of it because of mobility, B, just old dog, new tricks that didn't work out. Given what you know about what Matt Canada's offense is supposed to be, all this pre-snap motion, jet sweeps, etc., does that even sound to you, given what you watch and what you know works in the NFL, like something schematically that would be good in this league?
Yeah, Matt Canada has always – I think the concept of Matt Canada has always sounded good to me. I still haven't seen the execution, but I'm more of the mind that I would give him a pass because I do think Big Ben was limited. I know – I didn't realize that there was a whole group in town that thought Big Ben still had it in that he was just being held down by the play calling because he's not, you know, running his own plays. I didn't realize that was a thing, so you got tweeting about it. But I do think – the offense was held back by what Big Ben could do. I'm also in the offensive line as well. You know, like if say you sign Jameis Winston, the offense is going to look completely different.
Pony just perked up,
and the offensive line had better be tidied up a little bit because he's going to hold the ball half a second longer per play compared to Big Ben. So there's just a lot of limitations, I think. But I'm intrigued by the concept of Matt Canada as he's tweeting it right now, because if you give him some more explosive playmakers, and watch the Niners this weekend. They're going to be using misdirection left and right and just creating mismatches. The concept of pre-snap motion and misdirection and putting defenses in a bind is smart, but now you got to see it in action with the right players.
The savant Steve Palazzolo, one more for you. We are at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. Give our listeners your upset special for divisional round weekend, Steve.
Oh, man, upset specials. I can't believe I'm picking against Tom Brady, but I think the Rams have the ingredients, especially if Kristen Wirfs is hurt or not playing or banged up. The Rams can rush the passer. I think they're going to do a good job against the Bucs. Stafford's going to play a clean game. I mean, if he plays a clean game, the Rams are tough to beat. So give me the Rams upset in the Bucs.
Pony, are you listening to this?
I'm hearing it.
He's counting out touchdown Tom.
Well, I half heard that, and the other thing I was doing was saying, we built this city. Yeah, we built this city.
I'm out.
PFF. Bye, Steve. PFF underscore Steve.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.